Gwen and I stopped in Tucumcari, New Mexico a few years back and went to church with Sam Dunham, who was pastoring there. Sam said, "Now, you're going to preach in the morning." And I said, "No, we're on vacation. We come to hear you preach, and I'm not going to preach." "Yeah," he said, "you're going to preach." Anyway, I preached, but when Sam introduced me, he said, "There's a boy from Arkansas here that wants to preach, and I'm going to let him." That's kind of how Donna led the music this morning. She wanted to, and I let her. I appreciate Donna stepping up to the plate for us and helping us out. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. The book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And let's start with verse 13. I think that the message from last Sunday and this message has to do with our working together in the year that is to come. I don't know how God is going to lead us, but I believe that He has great things planned for Osage Baptist Church. Whether you and I are involved in it or not, that'll probably depend on us. But I do believe that He has a great plan planned for us. I think that He has a big plan for your life and for my life. We need to get in on that, whatever that is. Now, we would think that in order to get in on God's plan, it means for us to just grab a root and growl and push everybody back and grab hold of it ourselves. But that's not what He says in these verses. That the way that He uses us is that we humble ourselves before Him. The way that God works is through humility, through us not promoting ourselves, but through us promoting others and lifting up others and lifting up their job and their work and making them successful in what they do. And that may go against the grain sometimes, but that's how God wants us to operate. Let's look at it together and give you an opportunity to stand as I read to you from Ephesians 5 and verse 13. And if you have your Bible, we'd like for you to follow along. I always have a tendency to either get my foot in my mouth or hook myself with my own pitchfork. And a couple of Sundays ago, I guess it was, I said I would prefer that you use your Bible instead of your phone or some other device. And about the time I said it, I looked over and Mackenzie had her phone looking up the verse. And Trevor was elbowing her. But I noticed he didn't have his Bible. I meant to make some kind of comment about that and forgot to. But the reason, Marjorie's sitting back there with one. The reason that I think that you should keep the written word before you. The reason that I think that you need a not a personal pad, but a personal Bible, is that if you use I have an iPad at the house, and I listen when I go to bed. Many times I listen to the scripture through that iPad, and I don't have to find it. I just open it up, push one button. It gives me a selection to select from. I push that and push which chapter I want. It's easy. But this is my fear, that if we do that all of the time And we pick up our Bible when there's no more electronics. We'll have trouble finding it. And so that's the reason that in Bible drill, they're not going to allow you to use your phone. And it never will come to that. Don't worry. It never will come to that. And so that's the reason that I would prefer that you use a copy of the scripture that you can turn to. Now, Toby told Trevor, he said, our preacher just old-fashioned. And I am. But anyway, I would prefer that you carry a Bible. And to church, I don't care outside of this how you use it. And you know, if you want to be so hard-headed you don't want to fall in, you just go ahead and use it, Margie. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatever doth make manifest is light. Now we need to really grab hold of that. The light is what brings out the truth. I mean, it uncovers the truth. It brings things to the truth. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let's wake up, shake our heads, get alert to what God is doing in our lives and in our church. And then he uses a word that you and I would not use all of the time, right? See then that you walk circumspectly. How many of you used that last week in a sentence? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now we're going to talk about that word circumspectly here in a little bit. It's a good word. And it's something for us to grab hold of here in the scripture. And then he uses a word in verse 16, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Now look how he puts this. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Brother Nathan's memory verse was on the will, finding the will of the Lord. And it looks to me like from those verses that our part in that is to seek and to knock. What was the other one? Ask. To ask, to seek, and to knock. That's our part, no doubt. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting. Oh, here is a tough, tough word for us who might be overcome in pride and arrogance. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You may be seated. Now jump back just a little bit and look at the time. The time. So it's a portion of time. It is the time. The time is that amount of time that God has given you on this earth. It's the time. It's not just any kind of time. It's the time that God has given you to fulfill his purpose here on this earth. You're born over here, you die over here. You go to the graveyard and look at the tombstones. They will be born at a certain date. There'll be a dash in there, and they will have left this life at a certain date. The dash is the time that God gave them to fulfill His purpose here on this earth. And God has given all of us a dash in our life. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we owe, the cars, the house, the cash. That word is own, not owe. Where my mind is. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehearse, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Budget the time. That's what the word redeem means, to budget the time. You and I have the same amount of time. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to live the same amount of years. But right now we have the same amount of time. In other words, everyone is given 24 hours a day. For some people that's shorter than others. I hear people talking about, well, I don't have time to do this. No, it's just however we spend that time, however we spend that dash. Everyone has the same amount, 365 days a year. We just may not live as long as others. So why are you and I to redeem the time? Why are you and I to budget that time? Be cautious with that space, that dash that God has given us. Why should we be cautious with that? Why not just waste some time? Why not just spin that off? Well, the Bible tells us, because the days are evil in verse 16. So here he gives us some things that we are to be about. When I gave Miss Betty the outline for the PowerPoint, I did not realize until after I'd already given it to her that it didn't have but one point. And I said, I'm following the example of my old Bible teacher, that when someone asked him how many points a sermon ought to have, and he said, well, it ought to at least have one. So I've got one here today. But I've got some sub-points for us to consider about that dash, about that time that God has given us, whether we're young or old or where we're at in that. And a lot of times we think, oh, well, I've just got all the time in the world, but we know that is not true. And so he tells us, first of all, We are to be cautious. We're to budget our time because the days are evil. And then he tells us to walk as children of light. Verse 13, he says that the light exposes, but all things that are reproved, that word means to expose. Everything that is exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light, is the light. You know, it could be that we get in this mode that if God wants it changed, he'll change it. If God didn't want me to be this way, well, he could have made me different, or he could have made my circumstances different. And so we end up blaming God for our circumstances and what our life is like. But the problem is that we haven't followed the instruction of what the Bible says to do. And he says to walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in Jesus. Walk where there is light. And light exposes the evil. And then he tells us in verse 14 that we're to wake up. That we're to wake up. And so, obviously, there was in the church of Ephesus and in our church today a problem with people being drowsy. I had a guy to tell me this week that he said, I tell you, he said, I believe that I could sleep 24 hours. And when I go to church, he said, the preacher starts preaching and I go to sleep. Oh. Is that possible? You better not go to sleep while I'm preaching. I'll be back there where you're at. And I'll be having fun. But he tells us to wake up. That's what he said in the scripture, wake up. Now I know that sometimes when guys gals have they've worked the night before or whatever, and their eyes get heavy, I'm not going to give them a hard time about drifting off. But he does tell us to wake up. And then he says, rise from the dead. We have some Rip Van Baptists that might be sleeping through the most important time in their life. Missing out on what God wants to do in their life. Think about this. And there were some of us gathered together on Wednesday night talking, and one of the things that I picked up on was, Todd, I think it was you, that we were talking about God is moving, God moving, and I think Todd gave credit to the corporate prayer time that we've been having together. Now, and I thought, Lord, let me recognize that. Let me recognize that in your moving. Not because we're able to do this or to do that, but because, like Nathan said in those scriptures this morning, that we're knocking and we're asking and we're seeking and we're looking for the will of the Lord. I realize that there are some of you drive a very long ways here to church, and I do appreciate it. I think it's great. And some of you cannot come on Sunday night. But if the Lord comes down, man, I really want to be here. And when we hear people pray and make requests, and then the next week we see God answer that request, I really want to be a part of that. I need that in my life. I desperately need that. Then he says in verse 15, he uses that word circumspectly. And this really had caught my attention this week. I heard David Jeremiah use that word. Matter of fact, this passage was in one of the sermons that he preached. He didn't preach on this, but he used this passage. Used that verse, circumspectly. And the word literally means cautious. Be cautious. Live a cautious life. Be cautious in the way that you live. He's talking about the way you walk. The things that come out of your mouth. The things that you say. Be cautious, because all of the lost world is looking at us. And so we're to live a cautious life. And so if there is something that might be questionable, he uses this word circumspectly. We get it's broken into two sections. We get our word circumference from the first part of that, and then cautious comes out of that word. So it's circle it with caution. Take a broad walk around that with caution. Don't just run up on that deal. Be cautious as you deal with that. And we could say, well, God's going to keep us from danger. God's going to keep that from happening. And when he said in his word, be cautious when you're dealing with things, and let the Spirit deal with your life. Let the Spirit give you the knowledge that you and I need to deal with that situation. But don't jump in on it without praying about it, without looking to the Lord for his answer in that situation. Be cautious as you deal with the situations in your life and in my life. One of the things that comes to my mind on this deal of being cautious and saying the right word, having the right attitude, taking the right steps. I was listening to Folks on the Family this week, and one of the things that they had talked about is us training our children in what they should do. And I thought, I fail so miserably in training my kids. And this is one of the examples that they gave. They said, let's say that your 8-year-old or your 9-year-old has been given the job of raking the leaves in the yard. And everybody's working, but he or she's just not doing an extraordinary job. They're raking leaves the way a 8-year-old would rake them, or a 9-year-old would rake them. They're missing some. And so instead of bragging on what they have done, we jerk the rake out of their hand and start doing it ourselves. No, right, here's the way you do that. And boy, that just pierced my heart. And I thought, my grandkids, that's the way I do my grandkids. That's the way I did my kids. I just jerk it out of their hand, do it myself, because they weren't doing it to suit me. I wasn't willing to accept the job that they were doing. I should have walked circumspectly around that deal, and I should have been cautious in the words that came out of my mouth and the actions that I took. I should have been circumspectly there. Instead of being that way, I just jumped in and grabbed it and did it myself. Paul says to walk cautiously. And then in verse 17, he says, understand what the will of the Lord is. What a horrible waste if we do not know what the will of the Lord is in our lives. Just living them out without living them out, knowing what the will of the Lord is in our life. Let me leave you with three principles that'll be present if you're living out the will of the Lord in your life. And Paul gives them to us here. In verse 19, he talks about a song in our heart and a spring in our step. He doesn't say it just exactly that way. But he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And when that is present, there's a song in our heart and there's a spring in our step when we're doing that for the Lord. And when we're living out the will of the Lord, that is going to be present in our life. Brings about joy in our life whenever we're living out the will of the Lord in our life. See, my problem is that I think I know how it needs to be done. I always want to do it my way instead of the Lord's way. I want to jump in and grab and push and get the job done. But he said, if we're doing it with the will of the Lord in our life, there's going to be a song in our heart unto the Lord. You get that picture? When we're living with the Spirit of God motivating us, there's a song in our heart no matter what is going on. I heard a song this week. It says, he gives a song in the night when things are trouble. Number 20 says that we will be fulfilled and we'll have a grateful spirit. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the will of the Lord is being worked out in our life, when we are living out the will of the Lord in our life, we're going to be fulfilled in our life. There is going to be this grateful spirit in our life. Don't you love to be around someone with a grateful spirit? These folks that went to Haiti, if they did like I did, they came back rich. They came back with wealth. They came back and everything is, we have got it made. We'll have enough to eat. We'll have a roof over our head. We'll have a nice, clean bed to get into tonight. A grateful spirit for what God has given us. Number 3, we'll also have, look at verse 21, a submissive spirit. What is that? What is a submissive spirit? Spirit. Now look at what he said here. He said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What is that? What is it to have a submissive spirit? Submitting yourselves, what does it mean for me to submit myself to you and for you to submit yourself to me? What does that mean? How does that work in our lives? I know that the Bible says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. Now I can kind of figure that. If he's to be the head, if he's to be the spiritual leader of the house, how that should play out in our life. But then if you follow that passage on down, it says submitting yourselves to one another. So not only is the wife to submit herself to the husband, but the husband is to submit himself to the wife. This is what I think it means. I think it means that if I'm going to submit myself to you, Dalton, I am going to be working at making you successful in what God has called you to, what your ministry is. That if I'm going to submit myself to Drew, I am to work at making him successful in what God has called him to do. How can I help you? What can I do to make your ministry work? What can I do to promote you in life, to make you successful, to make your family successful, to make my grandkids successful? Boy, I've learned one thing, that a pat on the back and that a boy, that a girl, good job, goes a long, long way in submitting yourself to other people. If I humble myself before the mighty hand of God, the Bible says He will lift me up. But if I have an arrogance about me, everybody knows it and notices it. And I cannot submit myself and be arrogant all at the same time. So I have to humble myself before the Lord in order to lift other people up. I have to set their program above my own. I have to set their success above my own. Let's stand together. Tonight we are planning on the Lord's Supper, and we'll take this together. We do this once a quarter, and we'll do that at 6 o'clock. We'll have that service at 6 o'clock, and then we will have corporate prayer time together after that service. And then after the corporate prayer, we'll take down the Christmas decorations. If you're here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, you've not been saved. If you were to die today, you don't know where you'd spend eternity at. I had an opportunity to ask a lady that this week, and she said, I do. I've been saved. But she said, I'm out of the Lord's will. So I'll ask you a second question. If you've been born again, are you in the Lord's will? Are you doing what He's called you to do? Raising your family the way that God would have you to raise them? Are you submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord? Are you doing like I did a whole bunch of my life and done my own thing? Bragged about having two or three jobs and staying away from home. That's no good. Ain't no bragging that. Missed out on my kids, early part of my kids' life. When the kids is potty training, one of our grandkids, I got to thinking about back to our own kids, and I told my Well, I said, I can't remember us potty training our kids. She said, that's because you was never at home. I'd change that if I had it to do over. So I want to urge you to submit yourselves one to another, and in your family, one to another, in the fear of the Lord. If God's leading you to make some type of decision today, you come. If you want to come to me,